The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2, W243AD Adrian, 96.5 The Cave.
It's time for AC All Access, being sponsored today by Frickers in Adrian. Check out their lunch specials or watch the game at the bar. Frickers is fun, food, sports, and spirits. And now let's all welcome back to the Cave. Here's Jeff Bowman.
And thank you very much, Pat. That's right. Welcome back. I'm glad to be out here. And we are at Frickers for the AC All Access show today, and it's going to be a jam-packed show this afternoon. Again, we're going to be here live from Frickers for an hour, and we've got a few guests coming in today. And don't forget, come on out, $6.99 lunch specials Monday through Friday. Includes a drink, so make sure you come on in and check that out. I got some boneless wings I've been enjoying a little bit before this, so. And Thursday special are the frickin' chicken chunks. So come on out and get that. Don't forget, kids eat free every single day. Once again, AC All Access Show. Jeff Bowman with you here on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com. And our first guest today, she tumbled her way in here, is Emily Buffington. She is the head acrobatics and tumbling head coach. Emily, welcome into the AC All Access Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, this is, again, we talked earlier, this is only your second year here in Adrian, so how is things going? I know you haven't started yet in for meets this year, but how is things going?
Things are going really well. Like you said, I've just came up on being here for a year, so coming in as my second year coaching this team and coming up with this program. Getting to get to the close-knit of getting into season, and it's very, very exciting. We have been working extremely hard. Our athletes are very excited to be competing this year, being able to compete against different schools and different teams that they haven't competed against before. But they've just been working extremely hard since they've been back, and we cannot be more excited.
So when do you start with them? I know probably, I mean, not too early when they get here on campus. You let them get a little bit. When does the actual time that you get to start practicing with them?
So we actually decided to come in early, about 5-6 days early for practice, just to get some extra practice and reps in before we start our official spring semester practices.
Okay.
But we've started our full 4 days a week of practice, and our season starts in the beginning of February.
So you're considered actually a spring sport then, technically?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And again, so it's only your second year here. Where are you from? What's your background? How'd you get to this place?
Well, I'm originally from the Texas area, so the Dallas area.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit far away from home, but I was given the opportunity, obviously, back in December of 2022. I got a call from one of our athletic directors at Adrian and went through the interview process, got to come up here and visit campus during the wintertime, and was able to see what the life was like on campus, getting to see how great these athletes get to live with being at Adrian College. And since then, I've enjoyed being here ever since.
So what is your background? Do you have background? Were you a competitive acrobat and tumbling in college then?
I was. So I did gymnastics for about over 10 years and then also did cheerleading at the same time. I also did acrobatics and tumbling starting my sophomore year of college. I did that at a small Division III school down in East Texas and was there for 3 years, was part of their inaugural team over there.
Okay.
And have really gotten to develop and see how cool the sport's been growing over the past couple years. And since then, I've tried to stay in touch with the sport. I was a graduate assistant over at King University back in 2022. And enjoyed my time there and knew from being a graduate assistant, I fell in love with the sport again and knew that I wanted to continue sharing my passion for the sport and just trying to get it to continue to grow within the world in itself.
Right. All right. We're listening again. Hey, it's the All Access Show, talking with Emily Buffington, the acrobatics and tumbling head coach here at Adrian College. And kind of what your answer was to me in the beginning, one of my questions was, you know, what athletes do you recruit? Is it gymnastics? Is it cheer? And from what your answer was, kind of both of those worlds mm-hmm. work into what you're doing as at acrobatics and tumbling.
Yes. So we kind of go around a lot of different athletes. So specifically gymnastics and cheerleading backgrounds is what we really look at, because that's where a lot of the discipline comes from with how acrobatics and tumbling was first created. But we also look at athletes that have done trampoline and tumbling, weightlifting as well. We also have looked at some, you know, skaters as well, because they've been able to enjoy it as well. So we have a couple on our team as well. But it's kind of a wide variety of athletes that we really look into. With the sport continuing to grow, there's actually youth acrobatics and tumbling kind of that's starting to spread, and we look more into that, which also helps us in the recruiting process.
So with this sport, I know, again, it's newer here. It isn't something that you hear a whole lot about. Mm-hmm. So where are the other schools at, and is it an NCAA accredited type of sport, or where does that fall into the realm of athletics, and how many out there are there teams-wise that you get a chance to compete with?
That's a great question. And right now we are in the NCAA emerging sports status.
Okay.
We've been in since about 2020. And in order to become, you know, fully sponsored NCAA sport, we have certain requirements. And we have not gone there yet, but we're very, very close, hopefully within the next year or so. But there's teams around the West Coast and the East Coast. There's all the way from Division I to Division III. We have one NAIA that's going to be competing here pretty soon. And with total this season, we actually have 10 new programs that are going to be competing this year for the very first time, which is very exciting. And the sport is continuing to grow throughout college and just athletics in general. But we compete against Division III institutions. We've also competed against Division I and Division II. And it's something for the student athletes to kind of see what other teams have been doing, seeing how they compete, seeing the skills that they do, because every team's going to be different. So I like to put in a range of different institutions for our athletes to go against, just because it makes them more excited to continue working hard throughout the long season that we
right.
do have.
So is there a so-called championships at the end then? Is that broken down into divisions 1, 2, and 3?
So it's actually not, but for Division 3, this past couple years, we have been able to develop what is called our Division III National Tournament. We had hosted it actually about 2-3 years ago. Was the Invitational. Last year, we were able to attend University of Mary Hardin Baylor down in Texas, and our girls got to experience what a championship atmosphere is for the very first time. So it's very exciting getting to see other teams that they may not compete against throughout the regular season. This year, it will be held at Concordia University in Wisconsin. So not too far from us, but
right.
we're still very, very excited. When it comes to, we do have our own NCATA National Championship, which is really, really cool to see. It'll be held in West Virginia this year, and you'll get to see top-tier teams be competing against each other in quarterfinal brackets to semifinals all the way to the championship round. And we also have event finals that end up happening where different teams who may not have made it to the actual championship tournament get the chance to compete in event finals and maybe end up winning a championship
nice.
In that title.
So one thing, you know, I'm looking at some of the stuff that Mike brought me as far as some information. Again, you got 5 events, compulsory, and then 4 other events. And so and then there's a team event combining all 5 events. Mm-hmm. But so how many athletes compete during that portion or each portion? And is it only a female sport, or is there male and female mm-hmm. sides of it?
So one thing that our organization, NCATA, has really developed is that this sport was created by women. So it is a sport that all women do compete, which we kind of like to embrace, showing that we created the sport was by women, for women at the end of the day. But when it comes to an actual meet, it can vary really from how many people can compete. In our very last, I would say, event, our team event, you can have up to 24 people on the mat competing all at once. And through all the events that are prior to that, from those, you can put that in a 2-minute and 45-second routine. And you get to see kind of where athletes are, the strengths are, getting to see where they've developed in their skills. And it's really a cool thing to see when it comes to putting that team event together, and it's a fun process for me as well, getting to see, you know, how can we correlate to the strengths that our athletes do have.
So do the athletes compete in more than one of these five events, or do you kind of try to have, you know, we've got, here's our pyramid team, here's our acro team, here's our tumbling, or do you have multiple, you know, events that athletes compete in?
We do. We do have multiple athletes competing in each event. We do obviously have rules that we have to follow through our organization to help create our sport. But a lot of our athletes compete in a lot of events. Some athletes may not compete in as many as others. But for some people can compete in the compulsory event, and then people can also compete in the pyramid event and so on and so forth. So it really gets to showcase the strength and power that these girls do have. And it's really cool to see how much they can develop and how much they can really do if they put their mind to all the skills that they've been taught.
Is that something at like some of the bigger schools or the D1 schools, do they have more athletes on their roster to be able to maybe not have to cross over as much, so mm-hmm. you can have a lot more depth on the team?
Yes. So with Division III, it can be challenging at times with, you know, trying to get your numbers with recruiting, but at the end of the day, it's still fun to be able to compete and getting to see these girls really shine and do what they love to do at the end of the day. But with Division I's, it is for them. They have some can be up to like a 50-man roster.
Wow.
So it's really up to how the coaches want to utilize their athletes. But you'll see more athletes going into the Division I, the Division II level. For example, Baylor being, you know, at the top of their game has been won the national championship for our sport 8 times in a row now. With Coach Alicia Mulkey, who's over there, who's done quite a great job. He was actually a founder of our sport as well. She does have a 50-man roster, but she gets to also put athletes where she knows that they can, you know, strengthen as she
right.
has more of those numbers to really take a step back, which can be challenging, but it's also cool to see and give other athletes opportunities to compete on the mat.
So is there a lot of, especially when you get to the compulsory then and stuff, as far as, you know, getting these routines set, how is there, you know, what, when you got the acro, pyramid, toss, tumbling, kind of real quick, what goes into some of those events?
So with the compulsory round, it's kind of the building blocks that we do to help create for the rest of the meet. So a lot of what we do in the compulsory round, every team does the exact same thing,
okay.
to the exact same, you know, counts. And we all have to teach them in a certain way. And then once you get to the other events, like the acro event, pyramid event, toss, and all that, that's when you get to see athletes do different things than other athletes do from other teams. And, I mean, that really gets to showcase what they are capable of and show that some of the crazy stuff that these kids do. And it's really, really cool to see what other teams could be putting out on the mat as the sport continues to grow the way it is.
So then different routines, different choreography for those. But when the when you get it all combined to compulsory, then everybody does the same exact thing. So then you can really score them on apples to apples.
Mm-hmm. So the compulsory round is the first event that we do compete. And there's 4 events within the compulsory round in itself.
Okay.
So the compulsory is the very, very beginning of the meet. So that's where you can kind of see what the next, you know, hour or so is going to look like through the meet, through all the different events that these athletes do compete in.
Okay. So, again, your first one, February 11th on the road at Concordia in Wisconsin, where they're going to host the Nationals. And then your first home meet is, again, March 7th against that same Concordia team.
Yes, sir.
So how many matches or meets do you have then in your schedule?
We have about 5 this year, one of 3 home meets and 2 of them away. One of them will be a tri meet, which is not normally IR nurse serve meets and rest of our meets are typically dual meets, but
okay.
a tri meet is a good way to see other teams and see how other schools are doing.
Right. All right. Well, perfect. Well, again, good luck to you. Again, not only your second year here. What, you know, again, you're in Adrian, a little bit different from where you're at,
mm-hmm.
a little probably slower pace than the Dallas area. So, nonetheless, it is a neat little city, and I'm glad that you're able to like it here.
I do. I absolutely love it. I mean, growing up in Texas, you don't get to see much of snow, really. So I'm adjusting a lot to snow and how cold it can get up here. But I enjoy being in a small town and being away from the city and really getting to see what this town's all about, getting to see what Michigan really is about, and getting to see the pretty environment that it is
right.
here.
Well, again, Emily, congrats on, you know, being such a young coach and being in your second year, and good luck. And what, guess one more last question, as far as, you know, where you think you're gonna, your team's going to be at this year. Are you younger? Are you got some experience on the team?
We have more experience on the team than we do less, which I think is a good strength on our program. Having athletes that have competed in multiple events and have competed the sport before really gets to help in our favor when it comes to teaching our freshmen, because our freshmen don't necessarily know what the sport is. So being able to have those, you know, upperclassmen being able to teach these younger athletes what the sport is about, teaching them all these new skills, and then getting excited about all the skills that, you know, these freshmen and sophomores are, you know, still learning to this day, but these juniors and seniors are still enjoying it every single day, and they're still learning new things about themselves and learning different skills that they thought they would be competing, and that's what makes sport so exciting.
Great. Well, again, good luck this year. I know coming up February 11th is when you start things off. Actually, that's Super Bowl Sunday, so it's a busy day.
It is a busy day.
Yeah, well, good luck. Once again, thanks for coming in. Again, Emily Buffington, the head acrobatics and tumbling head coach here at Adrian College. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll be back with more of the AC All Access show from Frickers right here, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits. Frickers.
They call us a Cinderella store.
The little college that could.
We are Adrian College.
From the ground up, we continue to build programs, facilities, and academics.
We mold champions and initiate drive.
We are creative, innovative, demanding, and determined.
We didn't start from the bottom. We lead from the top.
We are Adrian College.
This isn't some fairy tale.
It's the beginning of a story.
It's not just 4 years of your life. It's the foundation of your inspiration.
The roots of your future.
We are Adrian College.
Let's get back to Frickers now and Jeff Bowman.
And thank you very much, Pat. Once again, we're here at Frickers. Jeff Bowman from 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com. We got the AC All Access show, and going from the tumbling to the water, as we've got Lucas Washburn, one of the bass fishing team, as they just won the Major League Fishing Collegiate National Champion last week. Lucas, welcome in to Frickers, and once again, congratulations on your championship last week.
Yeah, thank you.
I was watching a little bit of the presentations at the end. I didn't get the chance to see what you guys were coming up, but I watched some of the weigh-ins, and I saw a couple huge fish, and then all of a sudden I read and see online you know, that you guys ended up with the biggest one. So what was your biggest fish?
So our biggest fish was 11 pounds, 7 ounces, and that's honestly the biggest fish I've ever seen, let alone caught, seen. It was incredible.
So now I know I heard one guy talking in there saying that if he had had a net, he'd have had a bigger, he was by himself. Did you have to have a net to bring that one in?
Yeah, absolutely. We fought it for a few minutes, and we knew it was really big, and we got it in the net, and I looked at Lucas, my partner, and he was just in shock, and so was I. And we both knew it was the biggest bass we've ever seen, and we put it on the scale and could not believe how big it was.
Wow. Yeah, that's Braylon Egerding. Where are you from?
Oh, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay, and Lucas, your partner, where?
Yep. He's also from Grand Rapids.
Oh, nice.
Yep, we grew up fishing in high school together, and that's what led for us to come here together.
Okay.
Yep.
That's pretty cool, then.
Yep,
you get a chance to do that. And
yep.
It's funny, I always laugh at some of the people who talk about, you know, their sport, where, you know, I got to buy a bat or I've got to buy a glove. Mm. You guys have a boat.
Yeah, it is not cheap at all.
That's for darn sure. But you were down in Florida, Lake Toho. Where is that at?
That's just south of Orlando, Florida.
Okay.
Yep.
And that was a 2-day event?
Yep. Yes, sir.
And the cool thing about fishing, we were just talking actually with Emily too about some of the bigger schools. And, you know, the neat thing when you look at where you guys are at and, you know, against some of these big Division One schools that, you know, Adrian College is competing and beating those. It's got to be nice when you're at some of those competitions and seeing an Auburn or seeing some of these SEC schools and going, yeah, we're beating you.
Yeah, absolutely. Adrian is amazing. They help us out so much. I can't think of any other place that I'd rather be or any other school that helps out as much as they do. And they're really what makes it possible.
So with this, you guys want a free boat?
Absolutely, yep. We want an 18-foot Phoenix bass boat, and I'm not sure what the team's going to do with that, but it's pretty special.
Well, I mean, and that's the cool thing about that is that it's something that you can, you know, for the program, as you said, it's not cheap, and I know, you know, a lot of you guys, you know, you have some equipment, but not enough where everybody can use AC equipment, so
correct.
You have to
yeah.
use your own, and that, so
yep.
to be able to win something like that for the program, it's got to make you guys feel pretty good, because not only, you know, did you win this, and then you can give that, but that's kind of a legacy for you and Lucas.
Absolutely, yeah. Just having that extra option for another boat, maybe even, or even the money for it, just helping out the team, it's going to go a long ways. Just it'll open new doors for us.
So how many teams went down there to this championship?
I believe there was 10 teams, or 7 teams, sorry.
Okay, from AC.
Yep.
Okay. All right, and then I know there was, at one point, there was like 3 of you guys in the top 10.
Yeah, 2 of us, yep. Day 2, the other team from Adrian, or after day 1, sorry, they were in 2nd place. And so we knew we had a shot at it, but they looked like they had it going on, and they had a very good shot at it. So
now, what was it?
Montevallo.
Montevallo. I saw them. They had a bunch of guys when I was watching some of that, and how many teams that they had participating and up towards the top as well.
Yeah.
Is that one of your bigger rivals?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Montevallo is another really big school. I would say pound for pound, Adrian's got it going on, though. They may have a much bigger team, but I feel like the talent's here.
Now, where is Montevallo at?
They're located in Alabama.
Okay, all right. So you got to travel a little bit usually. I mean, your first solo event, though, we're up on Troy River, which is nice. So that's kind of cool to be able to – St. Clair's where you kind of were up in that area.
Yep.
Nice to be able to have a little – not have to travel so far.
Absolutely, yeah. Most of our travel distances are 9, 10-plus hours. So being able to stay within hour, 2 hours is just so nice.
Now, what grade are you in then?
Oh, I'm a sophomore.
Okay, so second year here. Yep. Were you on the team last year then?
Yep.
So recruited to come fish?
Yeah, Coach actually recruited Lucas and I through high school. And we came on a visit here, and we're like, yeah, this is the place we want to be.
Now, did your high school have it, or were you just you were competing in high school ages?
Yeah, no. So our high school, we started the team there.
Okay.
And, it really just took off from there.
That's cool. Yep. I mean, so you guys have been fishing together for a long time.
Oh, yeah, since middle school.
That's a neat thing that you guys were able to still do that. Were there other options? Or was this when Coach kind of talked to you that you really went, this is where we got to be?
Yeah, there was definitely other options, but once we came here, we kind of just said, this is where we got to be with all the programs and everything, the school itself. I enjoy it all. And then obviously, like I said, the program, what they do for us is amazing.
Now, what are you studying here at Intern?
Professional sales.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice. Nice. So what do you want to do with that?
I would like to do something within the fishing industry.
Okay.
A lot of that stuff is down in that South Carolina region, which I would like to move down there anyways, get out of this cold.
I don't blame you. Don't blame me there at all. So when you get on a lake like that, like, have you fished there before?
Oh, yeah, I've been there 2 other times.
Okay, because I know I was talking, listening to some of the guys that were really struggling and having a hard time fishing, and they say that's a tough one. What made it for you guys and were you changing some bait a lot, some of your lures, or what were you using?
Yeah, so we were using a rattle trap and a chatterbait, and we went into it looking for fish that were up shallow and getting ready to spawn, and it was a little cold, so they weren't ready to do that. So we moved out a little bit where they kind of stage when they're getting ready to spawn, and that's where we had found them.
So that's was that some scouting from before, kind of knowing where that was at, or that just your guys' kind of experience, knowing this is what we probably should try to do next?
Yeah, that was all just first-time experience. We'd gone into it, like I said, knowing that they were close to spawning, and we had looked at a map when we got down there and said, this area looks good, and we kind of hunkered down and found those fish.
So when you're on a lake like that, I mean, it's a pretty good-sized lake, obviously. Yep. How close are some of the other boats? Do you have guys kind of following you, knowing that, hey, these guys are a pretty good team, maybe I should kind of go where they're at?
We haven't really had that issue in the past. Hopefully we don't have it now. But, no, we had other boats fishing around us, but they had kind of moved out because they didn't do very well after day one, and they must not have known that there was fish in that area like that. So that helped for sure.
So did you go back to the same spot day two then?
Yep. All day.
Do a lot of people change it up?
Yeah.
Or
they don't have a really good day one like they're anticipating. They'll usually go look for something new.
And probably that's when you're chasing, you're probably not going to be as successful, right?
Right. Yep.
You almost got to stick with what you're thinking that we're going to do and, you know, go down with the ship or you're going to be up at the top.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. Interesting. Once again, you're listening to AC All Access show right here. 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com. We got Braylon Eggerding, a sophomore here at Adrian College. So, again, you can turn in five a day. How many can you keep at a time in your boat? Do you have to, you can say, okay, I've got this many. Yeah. So you got to kind of rotate through going, okay, there's a big one. We need to keep that one.
Yeah, so we'll always start off with just catching our limit of five fish. And then after that, if we catch one that'll be bigger than our smallest of those first five, I'll kind of stop fishing, and we both will. And it's called culling. And we'll get rid of that smallest one. We'll find it out of the live well, release it. And we'll just make sure we always only have five fish in the boat.
Now, do you you don't have scales or anything out there, so you can't eyeball it?
Oh, we do have
scales. Oh, you do have scales?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we can weigh them, and then there's some beams to really fine-tune it.
Okay.
Yep.
So you knew coming in how big your one was.
Yeah, we weighed it, and we were just, like, in awe. Yeah.
Is that, I mean, in some of your events, then that's still the biggest you've seen at some of the other events you've been to?
Yeah, I've never seen any other bass that big in a tournament.
Now, is that something that carries on, like, at the end of the year? Like, who's got the biggest at all the events? Or
Not really. It's not worth anything, but it's bragging, right?
Right, yeah. I just didn't know if there was, you know, like, at the end of the year. Like,
yeah.
Okay, the biggest fish caught all season long was this.
I wish.
You can throw it out there. You can make your own up and say that.
Might have to.
Why not? That's a good idea. But again, so when's your next event?
This next week down in Lake Murray in South Carolina.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I know you want to get into the business side of fishing, and the sales side or wherever that's at. Do you still want to be able to compete?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's definitely probably my main goal. It's just how realistic is it between money, financials, and just everything, travel away from work. It's hard, especially just out of college.
You really got to get the sponsorships, don't you,
absolutely,
to be able to compete at that highest level.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Work for the companies and represent them.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, you know, some of the golf. If you're not winning, you're not getting paid.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You've got to be able to have some money coming in there somewhere.
Yep.
Well, again, so you got a couple more years then. So what is your goal? Is to get Major League Fishing? There's another one too. Is
Bassmasters?
Bassmasters, yeah.
Yep. Our goals in there are, I guess, win another national championship.
Yeah.
It definitely feels attainable with the momentum we've got going. Me and Lucas have had a great first and second year, so we're just hoping to keep that going.
Now, the $10,000, you guys get to keep some of that, or is that all going to the program?
I'm not sure. It might be going towards the Toyota Series Championship, which we qualified for.
Okay.
But, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, it would.
It does help, especially with, you know, the NIL and all that. Is that something you guys can look into with, you know, representing some of this different fishing companies out there?
Yeah, there's definitely those kind of options. we really enjoy the sponsors that help out the school, so I don't really have any plans of going otherwise. They do plenty for the school. They help us out and give us free stuff, so, and we all love that and use it up for sure.
Yeah, perfect. Well, again, Braylon, we appreciate you coming in, and good luck, you know, the rest of this year and the next couple.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, once again, that's Braylon Egerding, one of the national champions from the bass fishing team, along with his partner Lucas Washburn, just won the Major League Fishing Collegiate National Championship. Once again, we're going to take a time out. We're going to talk a little wrestling. When we come back, Coach Bill Schindel is going to be in with us right here on the AC All Access Show on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Men's and women's hockey, as well as men's and women's basketball, will be home this weekend. And Tuesday at 7 p.m., catch men's wrestling against Alma College.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Let's go back to Frickers and Jeff Bowman.
Hey, thank you very much, Pat. Welcome back out to Frickers. $6.99 lunch specials Monday through Friday. That includes a soft drink. And again, Thursday, their special are the frickin' chicken chunks. So come on out, enjoy some of that. Kids eat free every day. Other weekday specials, they got boneless frickin' chicken wings on Monday, frickin' chicken wings on Tuesday, and sirloin steak dinner on Wednesday. But again, as I said, we're going to talk a little wrestling here as Coach Bill Schindel in with us this afternoon. And again, you got your regular season, good start. And then tonight you start your second semester schedule as you open, you know, on the road to Albion tonight.
Yes, sir. Yep. On the road, about an hour trip. I'll be heading out here pretty soon.
That's not too bad. But again, you're the conference champs, so you got target on your back this year.
Yeah. I mean, we've kind of talked about that a lot throughout this year, understanding the difference of being able to climb the ladder. And now that we're at the mountaintop, understand that, you know, every time we compete, there's somebody wants to knock us off, or we're going to get their best
right
match. So, you know, I think the guys are well prepared, cool, calm, and collected, but you know, we're hoping that it's just a another business trip tonight that we just
is
the road.
Is Olivet still the other probably best program in the MIAA still?
I'd say Albion and Olivet.
Okay.
And obviously us, the three of us have kind of maybe separated ourselves a little bit. Really it's going to come down to matchups and you know, we can make sure that everybody's healthy and competes at a high level. I think we're in the driver's seat a little bit.
Now, what's the size of your program now compared to when you came in a few years back?
So when I first got here, we had about eight guys on the team. So we always had two voids,
right?
With 10 college weight classes. Now we carry about 45 guys.
Okay.
Our goal is to always have about four guys per weight class. Obviously it doesn't always work out that way. You know, guys grow lifting and stuff and shift, but really with college wrestling and injuries and all that, you want to have some depth. Just in case something happens, you can move people around and whatnot. And then just from a training standpoint, right? Like, not saying that freshmen can't come in and earn and take a starting spot, but, you know, the college level is a whole different beast. And so, really, our goal, you know, if we're wanting to be one of the top 10 teams, top five teams in the country, really, we got to have guys that are going to be training and teaching those freshmen when they come in.
And they can wrestle open still, too, right?
Yeah.
That's the nice thing about it.
Yeah, we're fortunate enough here at Adrian that we have the ability. One, we've hosted a ton of things, but two, you know, we go to a lot of opens, and we have that ability. So, actually, like, this week is a perfect example where, you know, our varsity guys are wrestling tonight. On Saturday, we're taking the rest of the team, about 30 guys, to Alma, and they'll compete in an open. So those guys will get two, three matches on a Saturday. And then we turn around on Tuesday at home against Alma. So our varsity guys are getting two matches in 2 weeks, and then our backups, JVs, whatever you want to call them, they're going to get, they're in a tournament and they're going to get 2, 3, 4 matches, So we have the ability to train and build and grow young men into being able to be ready for that. So, and we've also had the ability, like we brought in Henry Ford, first semester, we got the dual meet with them. We made it a non-scoring event, but none of our varsity guys competed in that event, put on the spotlight at home so that those guys could kind of get that first time jitters out of their system, and they're going to compete again, what would be like a varsity competition. So,
well, that's probably a nice little twofold too, because then you can let the Lieutenant Ford guys do what ADC is all about. So you've got that. Yeah. I'll give my guys the experience, but at the same time, we've got a whole team of wannabe collegiate wrestlers at that next level at a 4-year.
Yeah.
And you're getting them in the building.
Yeah. Don't be giving away all our secrets now. Come on now. Last year, like when we hosted our duels, like you're correct. We had Henry Ford, Southwest Community College, we've always tried to bring in those schools to show like, hey, while you're getting your grades and everything in line, then hopefully there'll be a home after that. So.
Well, it's a perfect way too to build relationships with those schools, not only just to bring them in and get them on campus, but it's nice when you're out recruiting somebody and you really like them and go, you know what, they might not be a fit right now either. A, wait, I don't have any spots there, or you guys, you mentioned, you got to get the grades up a little bit. And if you've got good relationships with those coaches, you can send some of those guys there too and say, this is where I would like you to be, and then you do what we're asking you, and we got a spot for you.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So
that's always a good, you've got to have a feeder system. I know the high school is nice, but if you can get, a 20-year-old to walk in your door as opposed to some of these younger guys. But again, it is something that, building the program and getting it, because, every week when, as you said, with injuries and that, but it's just nice when you can have that many guys in the room competing against each other. The every wrestling coach I've talked to, they love iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
And that's such a phrase, but it's so true.
Yeah, I think competition, we can't be afraid of it. It breeds the best out of all of us. I'll just be 100% blunt with it. And what I tell my team, I come to work every day thinking that there's two wrestling coaches and they're going to only have to hire one. Now, maybe that's a little bit crazy, but my goal is that Craig Rainey knows that I'm the hardest working individual in the building. And for those guys, that's what I expect out of them. And the reality of it is, or the nitty gritty is their job is to prove that they're the best guy at the weight class and prove that they're ready to take on that role. My job is to find someone who's going to replace you.
Right. Yeah.
And that's maybe harsh or blunt, but
it's the truth.
Like I got to be honest with them. And I tell them all the time, listen, your job is to go work, get it done. And luckily, again, we've had the ability that everybody trains. So one of the cool things about us is, even when you have four guys in a weight class, they're not competing against each other. Those guys are at practice helping each other, talking about it, because they all go and compete at the Adrian Invite. They all go compete at the whatever open or the tournament. First semester we wrestled 5 tournaments. Everybody on our roster wrestled in all 5 of those tournaments.
Nice.
So, we got no matter where you're at in the depth chart, we got guys with 15, 20 matches already before second semester. So
everybody's preparing everybody else.
Yeah, and so there's not, while they know, hey, when wrestle off start or when guys, we're there and we got a close margin, but they also know, hey, if my toughest match is in my college wrestling room, we're going to be pretty darn good.
Right.
Come 7 o'clock on whatever weeknight that we're wrestling.
Once again, you're listening to AC All Access show here at Frickers, talking with that men's wrestling coach, Bill Schindel. And Bill, again, talking about that. I think the last time I talked to you, you didn't have your own building. So how much nicer is that to be able to, A, recruit, but to be able to practice and do the things you want to do when you want to do them?
Yeah, that's a huge advantage for us. Mats are down 24/7. So being able to, one, we have our set practice time, but then, if guys want to come in and we want to do a little bit of film session, or we want to do a little bit of an individual workout or things like that. It's pretty huge from a recruiting standpoint. Yeah. I mean, we're slowly separating ourselves, in the wrestling world as having one of the best facilities in the country, especially at Division III. So, you know, obviously that helps on a recruiting standpoint, but just from a practical standpoint, like for guys to be able to come over, you know, they got key card access so they can come over, get a workout in, get a little bit of weight off, check their weight, you know, or just, hey, a place to turn some music on and shadow wrestle or get somebody to come over. Like, there's nothing better than that. And so I think that's been an advantage for us, that kind of like maybe goes unnoticed a little bit, that, you know, we have a place where like guys can just continue to get better. And so,
right.
You know, listen, I'm only, there's 24 hours in a day. I'm only with them for 2 hours basically every day. So, there's a lot that fall on these young men that, you know, if they want to get good, like, so, you know, yeah, we'll watch some film, but like, if you really want to get good, like, you gotta watch some film on your own. Like,
right.
If you really want to like start to separate yourself, like, you gotta put some hours in and time in. And so, being able to have that facility, has definitely helped us climb the ladder a lot faster. But again, now we gotta understand that the task at hand, and that we're gonna get everybody's best, and so we just gotta continue to prepare ourselves for that.
So, does everybody in MIAA does not have wrestling yet, do they?
No. So it's Olivet, Albion, Alma, and Trine.
Okay.
And then obviously Adrian. So,
right.
So the five of us have wrestling. So,
is there any out there on the horizon that they're trying to build them? I mean, I know that's been a nice little, especially Title IX type of a, you know, hey, we're going to bring in men's and women's, and it really fulfills some obligations for the Title IX and for what they need to do. And it's not the most expensive sport to be able to start up.
Yeah. I mean, I've
coaches
heard,
like you guys.
I've heard rumors. I do know that Mike Moyer, our leadership president for the National Wrestling Coaches Association, he's done a phenomenal job, maybe too good of a job. One of the things I'll say is that, you know, when I first came to Michigan and came to Adrian, you know, Albion didn't have wrestling, Rochester, Siena, like, oh, there's probably been 15, easily 15 schools in my 8 years that have added wrestling in Michigan. So my guess is, you know, it continues to be one of the fastest growing sports. On the women's side, it's the fastest
right.
growing sport. So we continue to get programs back, you know, whether it's restoring programs or getting programs back, or them starting brand
right.
new programs up. I have to imagine that, you know, is in the world of college enrollment, wrestling is going to be something that, like you said, it's a cheap, easy sport in some ways to add. So that way then, hey, like, boom, get it up there and go, you know, you need 10 guys.
Right.
So, you know, that's going to, you know, 10 kids is, you know, and then if you're doing that every year and you get 40 kids in your enrollment, that's a pretty nice boost. So.
Yeah. And again, the crazy thing about that is, you know, wrestling really took a big hit because of Title IX.
Yeah.
It was the easiest thing to kind of get rid of.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of, you know, come full circle to say, hey, this is a fulfilling thing now. We can do both, and we can all of a sudden build what we need to. And so it's that sport that was easy to cut. Now, again, it's the easier one to bring back to be able to kind of to help with the Title IX and everything else at the schools.
Yeah, I it's crazy to think, like, without – and nothing – listen, Title IX did a lot of great things.
Right.
I just put a lot of ADs in a tough spot. But it'd be crazy to think, like, how – you know, without that, or if all these programs weren't cut, where wrestling would be,
yeah.
you know, right now, because it is, it's just so, it's growing so fast. And you know, it's almost like on the women's side, it's tough to find women's coaches at
right.
this point. Because it's just, it's basically outgrowing itself.
Yes.
That they're having a hard time, you know, they have the athletes, but you don't have the coaches because they're still competing.
right. Right.
You know, and they're not, they haven't graduated to be able to be their own coach. So,
and does that help, you know, you in recruiting too? I mean, just to say, like, we've got both, we've got this, you know, this is our overall program. It's not just we've got men's or we've got women's, you know, we have, you know, there's a lot of synergy between it.
Yeah, I think especially now, how fast women's wrestling is, I think almost every family asks, so do you guys have a women's program? And so, and we say, yeah, absolutely. You know, we do. And I think the big thing is, you know, we have Coach Cashard who runs that. So, you know, it's not one coach trying to run both programs
right.
or anything like that. It's, you know, we have two separate programs, but then, right, you like to be around like-minded people too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even though it's, hey, women's wrestling, like, you know, the men's and women's teams tend to hang out and do a lot of things together because they're sitting around hanging out
right.
watching wrestling,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, and so, you know, it's no different than any other sport.
Right.
Those tend to gravitate towards each other. So from a recruiting standpoint, it is very nice that we have two full programs competing at a high level. You know, I think we feed off of each other okay. in that way.
Well, again, Coach, good luck tonight. Again, you got the target on your back as being the defending champs, but you start conference again tonight at Albion at 7 o'clock. So good luck, and good luck on the rest of the year.
Thank you very much.
All right, once again, that was Coach Bill Schindel here on the AC All Access Show at Frickers. Jeff Bowman with you. We'll be back in a bit right here, 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Adrian College invites you to cheer for the Bulldogs and join in the fun during this week's events.
Men's and women's hockey, as well as men's and women's basketball, will be home this weekend. And Tuesday at 7 p.m., catch men's wrestling against Alma College.
For a full list of Adrian College athletic teams and their schedules, rosters, and more, visit AdrianBulldogs.com. When you're looking for enjoyable events for the whole family, make great memories with Adrian College Athletics.
Everyday values are at only one place, Frickers. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday is all about that steak. Thursday, frickin' chicken chunks. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. Remember, draft beer specials, everyday values, and kids eat free every day. The home for money-saving value is the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
And now let's get back to Frickers. Here's Jeff Bowman.
All for the club side? Or do you help?
Well, there's – yeah, it's not just club sports. It's like a lot of the non-NCAA sports. But
okay.
They're not necessarily in clubs.
Gotcha.
Now back to Frickers. Here's Jeff Bowman.
No, you can hold it. Yep.
Go ahead, Jeff.
All right. Welcome back to Frickers AC All Access Show. Jeff Bowman with you here. Once again, $6.99 lunch specials Monday through Friday. That includes a drink. And I got good iced tea, which I like. And, again, Thursdays are special. Frickin' chicken chunks going on today, and kids eat free every day. Well, now it's time to, we talked a little water with some fishing, but now we're going to the frozen one. It's Gary Estalos, the head coach of the ACHA Men's Division One Hockey. Gary, welcome in to the AC All Access Show.
Thank you for having me.
So, your team, 8-2 win over UVM Dearborn on Tuesday night, and then you get them tonight again.
Yeah. It's a good rivalry series, and you know, we've they used to be in our conference, so the rivalry was probably even thicker back then. But it's good. It's a good series. They're ranked number 25 in the country, so it'll be a good test tonight.
So you're number 2 in the country right now, and who's number 1?
Minot.
Okay. Pretty good.
Yeah. Always good. Always good. So, yeah, we're trying to get there, though. Hopefully just keep winning.
There you go. Now, I see you're joining a new conference next season, the GL6, so the 6 strongest teams in the current conference. So who are the teams that are going to be with you then?
Yeah, so it'll be Calvin, Grand Valley, Davenport, Roosevelt. They're in Chicago. Who am I missing? And then actually the following year, Hope will be joining as well.
Okay.
So Hope's moving from Division III to Division I in the ACHA. So, yeah, it's good. It's competitive. You know, it's going to raise everyone's strength of schedule for competitive games. So we're really looking forward to it.
That was going to be my next question. I mean, is better for you guys then to be able to have that kind of – because then can you pick and choose maybe some of your better
non-conference games to be able to kind of increase your competition as well?
Exactly, exactly. So when they're doing the national rankings, you know, their strength of schedule means so much in terms of who you play and what they're ranked. So it just gives us an opportunity to play some more competitive teams on those other weekends and hopefully, you know, give us a better chance to be higher in the rankings.
Now, when you talk about Division One, Two, and Three again in the ACHA, how is that set up? I mean, because I know some of the schools are bigger schools, but what are some of the stipulations and criteria to be at those levels?
Sure. Well, the biggest thing for Division One is you have to be the quote unquote highest level team on your campus. So for us, you know, 2007, 2008 was our first year. So we got grandfathered into Division One because that rule wasn't in place. But now that's really the biggest stipulation. So I think what you're seeing is a lot of NAI schools really at the Division One level. You're seeing the Michigan Dearborns, the Lawrence Techs, the Indiana Techs, teams where they're the highest team or the varsity team on their campus, and that's really where it's trending. So, you know, it's great to see Hope, you know, especially with them not having NCAA hockey at their school, you know, them moving up to Division One and Calvin being in Division One, the previous D3 team. So it's special for us, especially the growth of Michigan rivalries, and it's pretty neat for sure.
Now, those MIAA schools that are in this, do they have aspirations to get into the NCAA level to be able to compete with AC's NCAA teams, or do you think they're kind of happy where they're going to be at?
Yeah, I think it's different for everyone. I think if you look at Calvin, you know, they have a 40-year history of being in the ACHA. So I think, you know, everyone's different. I think a lot of it probably depends on enrollment too. I mean, what schools want to continue to add sports to drive enrollment. And, I mean, let's be honest, hockey's not one of the smaller budgeted sports. So I think you really got to have a financial investment too, if you want to add an NCAA team as well.
Cause I think, you know, you look at with Adrian College, having their own sheet makes it so nice there, but you still look at, you know, your travel costs have got to be crazy compared to some others. So to be able to have as many, you know, non-NCAA level teams to still be able to compete at that level, you know, it does make it nice where you're probably not having to rent ice and do things like that. Probably offsets a little bit you guys are able to do travel-wise.
Yeah, it's for sure. And I think, you know, our NCAA team would love some more Michigan NCAA teams to play against because, you know, their conference is in Illinois and Wisconsin, so there's a lot of travel there. But the rink on campus helps, you know, immensely, especially when some of these public rinks are charging $300-$400 an hour for ice. It definitely helps for sure.
And it's obvious it's going to help you with recruiting to be able to say, yeah, we're not going to have to practice at 10 o'clock at night and some, you know, city rink because that's the only thing we have access to. You've got, you know, so much to offer right on campus.
Yeah, especially for, you know, our Western Canadian kids or, you know, kids from Nova Scotia. You know, those kids aren't bringing a car to campus, you know. So I think it helps a lot of parents knowing, you know, my kid is maybe, you know, 20 hours from home, but it's literally a 30-second walk to the rink. So
yeah.
I think that definitely helps with recruiting in that regard.
And as far as some of that goes, when, you know, you look at those Canadian kids coming down here, are those guys still that have played a lot of juniors and go, okay, I'm at that crossroads where maybe I'm not going to be an NCAA player, but I still want to keep playing, and this is a good competitive without having to, you know, still be able to get on a campus, be able to be a college student, still be able to play and not have to worry about, okay, I'm going to get a job and play beer leagues.
Sure. Well, all of our players, they do have NCAA offers. So,
okay.
So we're recruiting them to come into an opportunity where you do have the rink on campus and a beautiful weight room and a locker room. You're playing in front of a big crowd. But you have the opportunity to win a national championship. So maybe there's an opportunity where, you know, those NCAA D3 schools, they're good offers and they're good teams, but maybe not a team that could win a national championship.
Right.
So those are really the kids that we're trying to identify and I think work really well here at Adrian.
So going to a lesser quality of a Division 3 NCAA going, you can flounder at the bottom of your league, you can be a big fish, but hardware and things like that, you can come here and get a chance to compete at that highest level still.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a tough, I mean, and I guess that's where you got to weigh the odds too of how, you know, with the, where a kid wants to be. It's an interesting, again, that crossroads there to say, you know, where do I want to be? Especially when you look at it, if their D3 offers, it's not like they're paying for your school anyway.
Sure.
You know, as far as taking a big Division I scholarship,
sure,
and going, okay, if I got D3, where are my options? So
exactly,
that's still going to be a little tough for you to get out there and recruit some of those 20 hours away Canadian kids, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a grind, and, you know, we spend probably 3-4 swings a year where we're up in northern Ontario, or we're out west, or we're out east. We make a big trip out to Boston every year, so, and a trip to Minnesota. So it's just a grind, but it's, if you want the top players, it's what you have to do.
Well, and, you know, I was talking with Coach Shindell a little bit about having some relationships with some of the JUCO coaches in that. And is that one thing that you guys really try to get, is build relationships with some of these junior teams and some of these other, that they know you, they can funnel them your way, or really kind of identify kids that would be your kid?
Yeah. I mean, just like sales, we're in a relationship business. So it's really easy for coaches being comfortable. You know, a lot of these kids might even play junior in their hometown, whether in, you know, British Columbia or Alberta. It's a lot easier when that coach trusts you and knows you and they know your program to say, yeah, like, it's okay to go far away from home. So it's a relationship business, and it always will be.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, when you're winning championships, it probably makes it a little bit easier, too, for those kids to say, yeah, I want to be a part of something like that. I want to be able to compete at that highest level and get a chance to win, you know, something and come home with some hardware. And so, you know, do you get many locals, kids in Michigan, or where is your, you know, kind of your biggest base of students?
Yeah, I would say half of our roster is probably from Michigan.
Okay.
We have a couple Ohio kids. I have one kid from New Jersey, and then the rest is spread out through Canada. So I'd say probably that other half, probably a third from Ontario, kid from Quebec, kid from Nova Scotia, and then probably the other part of that would be Western Canada, so Alberta, BC, Saskatchewan. So, and then there's a lot of kids that we have on our team from Michigan, but they might be playing junior far away too.
Right, right. You get like Skelly and start going to Europe and stuff and bring photos in?
No. we've had a player from Czech. We've had a player from Sweden. Henrik Overvall just graduated from our program, played for Team Sweden at World University Games. But we're not going out there, no.
That's always fun to talk with Skelly about. Yeah, where are you traveling next? That's the thing. But again, so your season 21-2 overall, 10-0 in conference play. So when do you start? How long is the regular, and when do you start into some of the playoffs?
Yes, we got about 4 more weekends here, and some big conference games too. Games with Calvin, Grand Valley, huge one tonight out of conference with Michigan Dearborn. But we'll start our conference tournament third weekend in February, and Eastern Michigan is hosting that, and hopefully we can compete for a league title here.
I see Saturday, senior day at home. Who do you play, and when is that game?
Yeah, so it's a Saturday day game. We're playing at noon, and we're playing against Trine. So
okay,
they're a Division II team, but, you know, geographically they're so close. It's, you know, historically a rival with our school, so we just thought that was a really cool opportunity to play them on our senior day.
Yeah, Trine AC doesn't matter what sport it is,
right,
there's going to be a little bit of blood there.
Absolutely.
Between those two schools.
Yeah.
So, well, again, we got to get out of here. Gary Gaspos, head coach of the ACHA Men's Division I Hockey. Congrats on the season so far, and good luck.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Once again, I want to thank Frickers for having us out here, and also Adrian College for the AC All Access Show. I know Ian on the road with the women's hockey team. He's going to be in Lake Forest with them, so I got to sit in here today and fill in for him. Appreciate it very much. Pat, thanks to you back at studio as well. Once again, AC All Access Show here from Frickers. I'm Jeff Bowman, 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
That's a wrap for today's episode of AC All Access. We hope you enjoyed this exclusive look behind the scenes of Adrian College Athletics. Join us next Thursday at Frickers and Adrian. Check out upcoming Adrian College events at adrianbulldogs.com.